Hello and welcome to Swiftly Spoken, a fan-made Taylor Swift podcast in which we break down her lyrics, deep dive into full album retrospectives, and theorise about what may be coming next. As always, we are your hosts Cameron and Lisa, and now that the first North American leg of the Eras Tour is over, we're going to be recapping the outfit additions, surprise song logistics, setlist changes and details we missed, and surprises that we've seen so far, and how they could influence the international shows. Since our first episode was just after opening week, we wanted to revisit the tour, considering all of the changes, surprises, and additions that have taken place over the last 5 months. We're lucky enough to be hearing from some of our listeners who attended the tour and graciously have shared their experience with us. We also reached out to a few of our favourite Taylor Swift content creators that have also been kind enough to let us in on their time at the Eras Tour. So we'll have real info, experiences, and advice from the people who were there.
To kick this episode off, we first wanted to play an audio of Taylor introducing the concert and the Eras Tour and what her objective of the Eras Tour is. So this audio was sent to us by one of my favorite Taylor Swift content creators on Instagram. Her name is Wendy. You can follow her over there. Her name is Wendy Swifty, and she is an amazing Taylor Swift artist. So she was gracious enough to send us this over from the day that she went to the Taylor Swift concert, and we wanted to just listen to that first to see how the concert actually starts off, how the night is begun.
And we're gonna go on a grand adventure together through 17 years of music that I've been lucky enough to make and you've been kind enough to care about. You guys, we're gonna be doing this one era at a time. And I'd just like to say to you that these songs may have started out being about something that happened to me, something that I felt in my life, or maybe something that an imaginary character that I invented felt. But here's my goal: by the end of the night, when you think of these songs, they're gonna be about us and the memories that we made tonight here at Gillette Stadium.
So that's the beginning, basically. That's her first speech when Taylor is about to play Lover in the Lover set, which is, of course, the first set of the whole evening. And I think it's such a nice message, and we wanted to highlight that message right now because it ties in really, really well with 1989 and 1989 Taylor's version, because that was a message of that album back in the day. In the prologue, she mentioned, you know, these songs were once about my life, now make them about yours. It's really nice, isn't it? It's just such a...
Yeah, it is. It is such a nice thing to kind of start the tour off with. And like, and I remember the first time she kind of said it, it was also a bit like, oh, especially going into Lover, obviously, everyone was like, oh, because I remember once she kind of said that Lover is just a love song.
But
it is nice that these songs, and it is nice that these songs, though, and Taylor's been saying it a lot recently, even with All Too Well, she was like, oh no, this song is for the fans, like, you know, it's what, how, who they imagine and their story. And I think that's such a lovely way to start off like the Eras Tour. Of these songs represent very different times within Taylor's life and also different eras of her fans' life, and they have different associations and memories with all of them. And I think that's such a nice way to kind of kick the tour off. It's such a lovely little speech, and just everything about this tour is just so exciting. But I think that's such a nice way of kicking it off, of like, you know, these songs were once about me, but now they're about you, and, you know, let's take a trip down memory lane, basically.
Yeah, and that is exactly what she does. And as we mentioned in our first episode, which, like we said, we did right at the beginning of the Eras Tour, where we like recapped everything that went on basically an opening weekend, things have changed since then. Things have gone down. For example, the set list. So a total of 42 songs are on the main set list, but over time songs have been switched about, added, taken away, replaced. So she's played a total of 46 songs on that standard part of the set list, which is just crazy to think about in itself. So
mental. Yeah, absolutely mental.
We had the one which was quickly the replacement of Invisible String. Invisible String survived not for very long. It was quickly replaced by The One, unfortunately. Well, I guess The One is just as good, but I have a soft spot for Invisible String, so this was sad for me. It came back again on one date to celebrate Centennial Park. Kevin put a bench there for her, and it was never to be seen again. How are you feeling? Do you prefer The One or Invisible String in the concert.
Yeah, I was like, I love Invisible String. I love the one, but I was never like, oh, I'm really sad about losing one or gaining the other. Right. I was like, cool, that's fine with me. Mm. But I've quite liked like Taylor's vocals and pronunciation during the one, and her slight change up. I've really quite liked that, and that's really grown on me. Yeah, that's really quite grown on me. So now I'm like, oh no, that's a bit more preferable.
Mm.
But I'm not really too fussed about either, but I have actually quite enjoyed that element and would quite like to see that.
So,
because I always love a good old lyric change, pronunciation, vocal change. Love it. Live for it.
Definitely. This set quite a precedent because it was right at the beginning of the tour, so we thought maybe there'll be more changes. No. She just didn't want to do Invisible String.
No. Yeah, she was like, well, I'm not singing that every night for the next 4 million years.
But the thing
that was interesting though was she did say that, you know, this is the year as tour expect change.
Yeah, well, no.
And there has been a couple, there has been change here and there, but not to the way that I thought. Because I remember we discussed that potentially there could be like a revolving set list.
Yeah.
That, you know, certain nights you get a certain set list, or, you know, certain songs do switch each night. So, you know, that maybe a song from each era switches. And obviously we have had it with the Folklore, and there's been a couple here and there. Mm. But more inclusions rather than switches. You know, it gets included, then gets removed.
You're right, yeah.
I was surprised by that she mentioned that. And obviously the changes have been like the set list and also the surprise song, sorry, and the outfits, which obviously we'll get into in a second. But as the standard set list, it hasn't really shifted as much as I thought when she first mentioned that. I was thinking, oh God, here we go. It's going to be every night. It's a different set list, you know. But it has been quite rigid. Which I have quite liked, because you know what you're getting in for, you know? There's no big surprises other than the surprise songs, because I'm someone that quite likes to know the set list. I know what I'm getting myself into, and I love surprises here and there, but I am quite a, I want to know.
Right, I understand that, yeah. So, like you said, not really much more switching out. We will talk about another one in a minute, but since then, we have had Nothing New added when Phoebe Bridgers was there. And same thing, which was a great addition.
Oh, great, marvellous addition.
Yeah. Which I know it came with a bit of backlash because everyone was like, okay, so you can add something for Red, but you can't add a little one song for debut. So that was a bit contentious.
Mm. Or another for Speak Now at that point.
Mm. But when Speak Now, Taylor's version, was released, Long Live was then added as well to the set list and stuck around. It has stuck around since that date, right until the end of the tour. So that's been great as well. Now, I'm a bit worried about Long Live, I must say. I don't think it's as hard and fast a mainstay as we might think. Not so much for this next round of Eras Tour, which is this year. It's in 2023. We have the Latin American dates. We have some in Mexico just like this week. And then in a couple of months' time, we have the rest of the shows. Then we close off for the year and open up again in 2024. Now, 2024 has different legs as well, which we'll get into when the time comes. But the European leg, which is our leg of the tour, has Paramore as the openers. And of course, now we know that Hayley Williams has a song.
Oh my God, I hadn't even thought about that.
Are you seeing where I'm going with this?
Hayley Williams
has a song with Taylor from Speak Now. And I'm thinking, will Long Live be taken away and be replaced by Castle's Crumbling?
That would be
devastational.
That would be atrocious to remove Long Live. Like, I love Castle's Crumbling, don't get me wrong. But Castle's Crumbling is on a totally different... Long Live is on a very different league.
It's also just like...
Especially tour.
Yeah, and so, like, can you imagine we're singing Castle's... Because we've compared Castle's Crumbling and Long Live for having a similar message, but very, very different. Mm. Like, Long Live was the forward-facing positive message.
Yeah.
And Castle's Crumbling was the other side of the coin behind the scenes, how she was feeling. Which, I'd love to hear it with Hayley Williams. I would. But to lose out on Long Live, it might break my heart. It might break... Because it's such an emotional moment of the tour.
Yeah, exactly. And I think Taylor is really enjoying that moment. She seems quite emotional when she's performing, so I hope that she wouldn't want to remove it. And when we have had the additions of, like, Nothing New, nothing has been removed in its replacement. Nothing New, however, the one that we'll be getting onto in a second.
Right, so you're referring to No Body, No Crime, of course, yeah.
Yes, which, you know, No Body, No Crime was then obviously brought on towards the latter end of the tour when Haim was the openers, and that song then replaced Tis the Damn Season.
Oof.
So there is a potential that that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
But Nothing New didn't replace anything from Red, but I guess probably because the ones that it would have replaced would have basically been all the singles and All Too Well 10.
Yeah,
and that was
really
none of those were going in.
No,
they were not going anywhere.
They weren't going anywhere.
And I feel like hopefully if Long Live does become such a fan favourite that that will be deemed a you cannot take that off the set list.
But then like in will Chanted, Enchanted, you know? be in danger? I don't know.
No.
Will something else be in danger? No. I've become so attached to the set list. That I must see it.
Me too.
You know what I mean? Obviously, whatever happens, it's fine. We'll live with it. It will be absolutely fine. We're lucky enough to go.
I'll go mad every song.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
But interesting.
But with Nobody, No Crime then, what was your opinion there with it replacing Tis the Damn Season?
You might want to not hear this. I prefer Tis the Damn Season, I have to say. I love Haim. I love them being together. I love the moment that it creates. But it does make me sad because I really liked the like kind of almost pumped up version of Tis the Damn Season that we get on tour.
Mm.
But I do love seeing the interactions between Haim and Taylor. I know they have such a fun time and... you know, their costumes have been great as well.
It's quite a fun moment, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, potentially we're not going to see it anymore, so it doesn't really matter. But
Tis the Damn Season will probably come back.
Yeah, I'm guessing so. Although, like we're saying, we're recapping this all now because going forward, we are now in, you know, unknown territory. She really could change up quite a few things.
I'm thinking outfits, set list, you know, surprise guests, because obviously we then have... Sabrina Carpenter. You know, is she gonna make an appearance? Because all the others, a lot of the others have made some form of appearance. Not all, but
a lot of
you know,
others,
some have. And Sabrina is the only opener, so is there potential there? And is there potential that Sabrina might be on 1989 Taylor's version, therefore be part of that bit?
Very
so, you know, we'll get
observation.
Into that. But we are entering, I feel like the era is tall, expect the unexpected.
Definitely.
Is interesting.
Only like a third in of the air.
Yeah, which is mental.
Mm-hmm.
Mental.
There's a lot to come.
Like it feels like we've been doing this for like months and months and months and months. Well, it has been months, but it feels like almost this whole year.
Well, it's going to be in the end. And a whole next year. It's crazy to think. So a lot could change, and that's why we wanted to kind of like recap everything now. Just to have this as like you know, just to go over like what has happened and what could happen and what we would miss and what we wouldn't. And going into that, the next thing is surprise songs. Now, I love a good statistic. I love, you know, highlighting which surprise song she sung, which she hasn't sung. I'm a bit like that because I really, really do want her to sing like everything. I know that sounds very like Dance Monkey. It's not so much that, but there's some songs that, you know, she's never debuted live before. And we finally got a few of those from Fearless Platinum, finally sung live, which is crazy. So I really want to see a few more debuts from back in the day. A certain song called Crazier, which I know that you would love to see. But let me run down some statistics and then you can tell me how you feel about everything. Right now, she's played a total of 53 shows. At each show, she sings two surprise songs, as we know. However, she has repeated 5 songs. She repeated in total Clean, Our Song, Death by a Thousand Cuts, You're on Your Own Kid, and Maroon. Everything else was just like, every night was a completely different song. It's funny how she repeated those 5 songs. Clean, she repeated just on a random day, but the other 4 songs, she repeated on the nights that the camera crew were following her around and recording the Eras Tour, which is very poignant choices for sure, which we'll get into because we'll have to talk about the camera crew in a bit. But anyway, in total, she's played 99 surprise songs. Which ones were your biggest loss? Which ones just pop into mind where you're like, oh, I wish I was there?
I think initially it was like the Comeback Be Here's and...
Tim McGraw for you. I know that the first
like,
week
Tim
was
McGraw,
like devastation.
Oh, don't. Tim McGraw, Better Man. But ironically, the one that I was like, I would have absolutely just fallen apart hearing that is Tied Together With a Smile. Like,
oh my god,
that version... is so like that. I was like, I cannot wait for debut Taylor's version because the emotion that she poured into that and the maturity in her voice was like, it really highlighted that. I've always felt like that song was ahead of its time in terms of Taylor's songwriting, and especially when you hear, you know, like modern her seeing that, you're like, God, that songwriting is so good because it still stands the test of time. So that one for me, actually, looking back on it now, is actually the one that I was like, God, that was just incredible. But all my kind of favorites, as some of the ones that I've mentioned, yeah, like Tim McGraw, Come Back Be Here, Cowboy Like Me, I really loved. I also loved the moments when like Jack and Aaron were brought out. Mm-hmm. So like the Great War looked really, really cool and everyone, it was so loud. But for me, I think the top one that if I could pick one to actually be in the room and listen to would have been Tied Together, because that was incredible. What about you?
Yeah, that's definitely one that kind of surprised a lot of people, I think, because as we always say, debut is paid dust many of the times, and that's quite sad. But when you hear some of the songs, they are ahead of their time. Cold As You is another one that is incredible.
Oh yeah.
Written by such a young person to have that emotional depth in it. But anyway, I have a list of, you know, things, songs. I kind of like whittled it down to like three songs from each album, which would make me very sad, which we did discuss in one of our episodes previous to the Eras Tour, or as it was beginning. But yeah, Last Kiss was a sad loss for me. Out of the Woods.
Yes.
Oh, Out of the Woods.
Yes.
King of My Heart on the piano. She did it.
Yes, because you said you wanted that as well, and you did get it. Yeah,
I
loved it.
Yeah, which is such a full circle moment. In our first episode about the Eras Tour, I said, I would love to have been there, of course, but you know, we knew that we was never going to be at any of these shows, but I would love to hear, you know, King of My Heart on the piano, and she did it. And I was like, you messaged me that day, like, you was like, is this what you said? And I was like, yes, it was what I wanted. So
you got it.
Yeah. Evermore. Oh, what a loss.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Good. Yes. No, it's the ones where like vocally there was something really different and distinct.
Oh, she was going for it on Evermore.
Bon Iver's part. Wow.
Oh, it was good. Yeah.
That was another level. And to be fair, even the Gracie song that she sang, I really loved that as well. Like hearing her.
I miss you. I'm
like,
sorry.
Yeah, but I forgot about Evermore. That was a moment. That was so good. That song. Like, like really, really good.
Yeah.
Because some do lend themselves better. Like, some of them sound cool acoustic and you're like, that's fun. But certain ones you're like, God, that sounds good on a piano. God, that sounds good on a guitar.
Yeah.
And I think Evermore was that one. That was like, wow, that was really, really solid.
So considering that, my list of songs that I have kind of like printed out is comprised of 207 in total, which means there are still 62 that she hasn't played at all, which it makes me sad because I do want to hear them. Like, I don't want them to be lost in the fray. For example, there are a few, like I said, from Fearless Platinum that are just like there. There are a few from like the Fearless Vault that obviously have never been played live before. Like We Were Happy is there. That's When is there. Don't You
I'm
is
surprised
there.
That, yeah. I'm surprised that like Keith Urban wasn't brought out because he was literally there one night.
I know.
When he was there, I was like, okay, that's when.
Is he coming out? Yeah, no.
Come on.
We didn't get it. Yeah. Quite a few of Reputation. I know she like powered through some of Reputation on the final nights, but a few of from Lover as well. And then some of my favorite songs haven't been played yet. So we haven't had like from Midnights even, Sweet Nothing, Labyrinth. And I think, she wasn't ready to face some of them, I think, which is perfectly fine.
To be fair, one of the ones I was most surprised by that it was included was All of the Girls You Loved Before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I just didn't expect that, because obviously it was technically unreleased and then was released officially. But to hear that, I was like, oh, wow. Like that, I've almost see that one as like the unreleased songs, like almost see them like planets, like a solar system. You have like the albums and then you have like the stuff that kind of spins around it, a bit like a satellite, you know, just like that is associated with that era, but obviously isn't technically attached because it's unreleased.
So many years afterwards,
was a,
as
you know,
well.
Droplet single, yeah. And I just don't really see that as part of the, like, you know, solar system of Taylor's discography. And that kind of anchored it a bit more of, oh yeah, that is like a legitimate song that isn't just a unreleased one that, you know, I've downloaded off some weird website and imported from my laptop, you know? So yeah, that one was quite a surprise. I just didn't expect that. And I do think that no song seems off limits. Like, it seems like, you know, she wasn't just picking
certain ones from certain albums.
Like all the really well-known ones. There were some rogue ones in there, so I think that we should hear quite a lot. Some songs I don't think will ever see the light of day is like Cats songs.
No, I'm not Sweeter Than Fiction. Beautiful Ghost to appear, no.
No.
Right.
Sweeter Than Fiction, I don't think, unless it gets...
I don't know, she played... Taylor's version. Yeah, that is true. But then again, she did play I Don't Want to Live Forever, so...
Very true. That is very, very true, actually. Mm. Yeah, interesting. I think it's, very up in the air, but it's looking good so far. And I guess the big question is will she reset when she does... Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of don't want her to as of right now, because I wanted, like I said, I'm selfishly wanting to get through, like, so we can have, like, you know, these acoustic versions of every single song. But at the same time, I do think that at least for next year, like, probably before, but she's going to kind of, like, reset and start, like, a new, fresh. Some of the songs will be repeated. It just makes sense. Also, I don't know if she's keeping tally or how she's keeping tally. But it's quite a hard thing to do, and, you know, to have to practice and remember all these lyrics and how to play them and stuff. Yeah. It's a hard feat.
And we were saying at the beginning that it seemed like with the Spice songs there was like a theme. She gave up with after about
some of them
shows.
Can
she was
be.
Like, oh, I can't be asked.
Yeah, some of them can be thematically linked. Other ones, you know, we reached as Swifties as we do. But some of them can. Other ones, she was just like, okay, this is the mood tonight. We're playing this and this, and that's about it.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, hopefully, I do hope that they do get reset, because I would like to hear some of my faves. Yeah. But what is interesting about the surprise songs is what she started and finished with.
Oh, yes.
She started with Tim McGraw, which is technically the first song of her discography, you know, number one song on debut and of, like, track one, and also her first ever single. And then she finished the American leg with New Year's Day, which is the final track of Reputation, which is the first and last tracks album wise across the non-Taylor's version Big Machine albums, which I think is quite symbolic. I quite liked that she started with the first and last, and that felt very, you know, tied it all up. It felt very full circle.
Yeah.
And that might maybe be a sign that that does mean, okay, we're starting again, and maybe, you know, the next shows for the rest of this year do start again.
Right,
so we'll see.
Right.
But I thought that was a really lovely way to start and finish it.
That's just an interesting thing. And I know I've basically hyperfixated on these surprise songs, which people probably don't care that much about all these statistics and numbers. But they're still such a fun part of the night. And you spoke about All of the Girls, or All of the Girls You Loved Before, its official name. And I thought that right now we could play another one of the audios that one of our really kind listeners sent in to us, in which they talk about their experience and the surprise songs from the night. So let's have a listen.
Hi, my name is Allie, and I went to the Santa Clara Night 2 concert. Taylor will forever be the mayor of Swiftie Clara. My biggest advice for international Swifties is to go to the early merch days if you are interested in getting merch. It was such a fun experience, bonding in line with other Swifties, and you get to then enjoy the tour openers, which were amazing. Wishing a lovely time for everyone who has yet to experience the Eras tour. Also, listening to the first live performance of All of the Girls You Loved Before and the double fireworks display during I Knew You Were Trouble was amazing and truly made the night magical.
So thank you very much to Ali for getting in contact with us and sending that lovely audio. And very interesting one as well. Great advice, I think, for people, because many people, maybe this is, you know, one of the first concerts that they're going to, or the first Taylor concert. So it's good to keep in mind that if you are interested in merch, kind of keep that. Maybe if you can go before, try and go on an early merch date, or if not, be prepared to stand in a line. But yeah, like we said, amazing surprise song that you got. It was absolutely, can you imagine hearing that song for the first time? There you go, another debut.
Yes. Exactly, yes. And we were literally just talking about it, how that was quite a surprise for me. So being there would have been like, oh my god, this is like, I would have never expected that to appear. And yeah, that is really good advice with merch. I think that when I go, I think I'm going to, because there's a couple of dates in London that I'm not going to,
right,
that Taylor, obviously the Eras Tour will be there, and I think I might just travel just to Wembley, just to kind of queue up for merch on days that I'm not going, so that on the days that I am, I don't have to worry about it, and I can just enjoy myself without having to stand in a queue for 2 hours. Because even when I went to the Reputation Stadium tour, I queued for like, honestly, a good hour and a half, 2 hours to get there. And then by the time you do get there, most of it's sold out. So that's definitely really good advice, to be fair. But no, that is, I am very jealous you did get to hear all the girls you loved before, because as I said, wasn't something that I would have, you know, been like, I desperately want to hear that. But when I did hear it, I was like, that's really cool. And hearing a song debut live, there's something just, you almost feel a bit of an ownership over it after you hear it. You're like, oh yeah, I was there and this happened. Like, I was there the night that Was It So It Goes was debuted, and obviously I was there the night that Gasoline with Taylor was, and I feel a sense of, whenever I hear this, I was like, yeah,
these are my songs.
So there is a sense of ownership.
And another incredible thing from that night was that amazing fireworks display. Santa Clara like pulled out the stops for Taylor. Oh, it was so good. It really,
that was incredible. And
those videos,
another level. Like that video of, like, you know, with the fireworks and Enchanted was gorgeous. And yeah, I Knew a Trouble. They were just so well timed. Whoever was doing it was on it.
They knew what they were doing.
Shit. They were like, we are sending it off now. No, such a cool night. To be fair, a bit like some of the nights that had like thunder and fireworks. The thunder and lightning always seem to go off
at the right time.
Yeah, it was like Mother Nature was like, yeah, I'm here for you.
Yeah, we're watching
the
Eras Tour. Yeah,
yeah, it was just hilarious. But no, that is such a cool thing. I wish all the cities would do that and, you know, go the extra mile.
Next up in things that we can discuss from the Eras Tour is outfits.
Yes, which there are a lot of.
Yeah, over time she added many, many outfits. Obviously, some of them, like, she only wore for a few dates. We've only had like one date with the blue outfits, but we're gonna go through them and then we can speak about the canonical, I'm calling them the canonical Eras Tour outfits. Those are the ones that she wore on the three dates, and she wore them for three nights straight when she was officially recording what we're surmising to be the Eras Tour, you know, movie,
concert film.
Yeah, documentary, who knows at this point. But so we had three lover body suits. The new purple one was added a bit later on. We had three fearless little dress moments. A silver one was added later on. Evermore finally had something added as well, that like bronzy one as well. Reputation, nothing for Reputation.
Just one.
Speak Now had six. It's the one with the most different kind of like color variants. The purple one is the last one. Oh no, sorry, the blue one is now the last one to have been added to the group. Then for Red, we didn't really have many changes, to be honest with you. Red kind of stuck to how it was at the beginning. Folklore, the additions to Folklore were so good.
Each and every one.
Blue one is the latest edition, obviously.
And it's probably my favourite. Like, that looked good. Like, she just stood out. Like,
green,
I think,
is
we
still
said in the last
favorite.
Episode, like, she just looked... Green is good, I can't lie. But green was quite a rare one if you got green.
It was for a while, and then it came back with the Vengeance, and she wore it for, like,
and then it was, like, you stuck with it. Yeah.
So...
probably because the others got a bit sweaty and needed to go to the dry cleaners or something. It all got wet in one of the rain shows.
That's it, the rain and stuff, I think some also maybe had to be altered, maybe because the bronze one from Evermore was away for a while. She wore it like one weekend.
Yeah, then it was quite loose fitting, and then it came back.
It was tailored.
It
was much better. Like the waistline changed, and I preferred it at the end much more. Then for 1989, we have now got four little coordinated outfits. The last one, of course, being the blue one, best one in my opinion. Blue is best for 1989.
Yeah, it's just the most... Blue and pink make the most sense. Orange was a bit rogue, not going to lie, but it looks really cool during Bad Blood because of the
fire.
Because of the fire. Yeah, it looks really, really cool. And pink and green, they do kind of remind me a bit of like the Shake It Off the outfits.
That's true.
So I can live with those. But the blue one is like,
it's so good.
Top tier.
And then for Midnights... well, obviously, the surprise songs, they're basically the same colours as 1989. And then for Midnights, we had so many different editions going on. So many t-shirts that she wore. So many Karma jackets. Six t-shirts, four Karma jackets. And then three bodysuits for, you know, like the main section of Midnights. And the last one, the newest edition of the bodysuits, which only came about in her last few dates. I think it was like on the day before the last day of the Eras Tour. It was such a good one. It reminded me a lot of what she wore in the Bejeweled video, when, you know, when she's like doing the cabaret moment at the end kind of thing.
Yes, it does a bit, to be fair. I think lots of people were referencing one of the alternate outfits for the, like...
Yes. 1989?
The, like, style. Yeah, 1989 World Tour style outfit. And lots of people referencing that, the blue version of that, and saying, oh, it was potentially that. And that's why it kind of came out during the...
The last, you know, yeah, couple of nights.
Last couple of nights. Mm. But I guess if you were working through all of these then, and obviously your ideal outfit for each show, what would that be? If you went through each era, what would the idea, what one would be like? I want that.
Oh, I love
and
that.
And then I'll do mine after.
I love that question, yeah. Okay, so for Lover, I'm definitely going for the pink and silver. Love that one.
Oh, yeah. You kidding? Yeah, pink.
It's got to be. Okay. For Fearless, this is another one that is just obvious. The gold fringe dress. We don't want no noodles here.
No. Noodles. No noodles for me. Big fat no. If I had to pick a noodle, it would be silver.
Yeah. I've kind of become used to and quite like gold noodle, but...
Really?
Over time.
It just looks like... No.
I don't know. Over time, I've grown to love it a little bit more. Obviously, I wouldn't care. Whatever she pops up in, I'm going to love. But again, this is all for fun and games. Evermore, honestly, I'm not sure on this one. Neither of them are my favourites from the whole tour. But I think I'd probably go for standard orange. I think
orange,
so.
Orange, yeah, me too. But I wouldn't be too worried about, because I quite like the bronze now that it's been kind of tailored.
Yeah,
and they're
that's
both
true.
Quite similar anyway.
Yeah, I
but
like
the orange
them
one is quite
together.
Nice.
Like, what, either one is fine. I'm not like the biggest stan of either, but I like them quite a bit. Yeah. Mm. Reputation, we have no choice. So there you go.
Yeah. And hopefully
Sad
we get
hours.
Some more.
I hope
soon.
We get, yeah, I hope we get a reputation whenever reputation or
Green
whenever
and
reputation
gold
is,
snake would be
you
great.
Know, Taylor's version is on the horizon. Maybe we'll get it. But for Speak Now, this is a difficult one. There's so many. Maybe I don't know, I was gonna say like the more of the silvery one, but it's a bit too much like a bridal gown for me, so I'm thinking maybe just go with the purple one because it is the most Speak Now-y of them all. How about you?
Yeah, I'm thinking either the my favorites, either like the Enchant, to be fair, all of them are, I love all of them really.
Oh, they're
the only
good,
one I don't
really
like is the weird like corn flaky one.
We pretend that one doesn't exist.
Yeah. That one appeared and disappeared quite quickly, thankfully. The either like OG, the OG one, the Enchanted, like Speak Now World Tour looking one.
Right.
For like, you know, the like that one. Or the one that the like, yeah, the like puffy
pastry
the big
one.
Like puffy purple pastry one, just because I just love that. But I do also really like the pink one.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
I really like that one. So I wouldn't really be too concerned with any of them, but I think all of them I do love. The wedding dress one is nice, but it is quite wedding dressy. But I do like the big puffy one and the OG. They're probably my two favorites.
So that's funny because up to now, talking about what I said before, like the canonical eras tour, what she wore on those three nights, up to now our choices have coincided with the ones that she wore. For Lover, she wore pink and silver. For Fearless, she wore the gold fringe. For Evermore, she wore the like standard orange. And for Speak Now, she wore like the purple Speak Now dress. So to there, at least we all coincide, but I have some different opinions coming up. So next we have red. We don't have much to choose from, but out of the three,
probably
I would probably go for a lot going on. Yeah, and that's the one that she wore. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, just because that is the t-shirt.
Right, it is like the callback to the era. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Now, Folklore, like I just said, green is my favorite, which is funny because I thought blue would have overtaken it, but I just love the cut of green. I love like the leaf detailing. Oh, what about you? Which one is your favorite?
Did blue take over? I think maybe blue, but it's like green or blue's a tight. The one that I really, really don't like is the white one.
And that is the canonical
one. The white
one. That is the one she wore for 3 days. I couldn't believe it. I thought at least she was going to wear the purple one, but I guess
purple-y
the colour of the era is more grey white. So
white, yeah. I was surprised she didn't go with green either. Like
I know, she looks so good in
or
that.
Or maybe it stands better on, maybe it's also for like camera.
Yeah. Or one she's most comfortable with as well.
Against
maybe.
But no, what would you pick then? What one? Would you say green?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. But we've got
and
white.
Then for 1989, what would you pick?
Oh, definitely blue. Definitely blue.
Me too.
The canonical one 100%. Is pink. She did it in, obviously blue wasn't in the rotation at that point, so it was the pink one. for both 1989 and the surprise song section. And then we go to Midnights, which honestly, I don't think that's a bad choice in Midnights. Everything is just spot on for me.
There's a couple of t-shirts that I prefer over some of the others.
Okay.
I quite like the pinky ones. I like pink and blue one.
Oh, I love t-shirt. The blue one. I love the purple one, the dark purple one.
Yeah. Because they work really well with the lavender haze jacket.
Exactly. Because you've got to think of that combination of that lavender jacket with whatever colour t-shirt you're wearing. So some of them, because
there's one that I really didn't like. I think it was like a whitey-ish one.
Yeah.
I just didn't really like it. And then what about bodysuits?
Oh, they're all so good. And her canonical one, the one that she wore for those 3 days, is the second bodysuit. So it's not...
Second.
It's not the one
that's
that
the one
she...
I'd pick.
I think so as well, because it's a bit more detailed than the first. The first was a bit more like a basic structure, and this one was more like a bodice kind of thing, and then more of like a beading underneath. And then the third one was had a lot of gaps in it, basically. So
yeah, it was more like skin tone.
Yeah, I agree. I think the second one is the best, definitely. Yeah.
And then Karma jackets.
Oh, gunmetal.
Really
gunmetal. The one, the oil slick. You know, the one that's black, but it has all these little. Colours woven into it. That's my favourite, which is not the one that she wore. Yeah. She wore the blue one, which was a lot of blue going on. I was like, no, put the gunmetal.
I guess she was really sticking to the
era's colour. Yep.
Colours. What did she wear again for 1989?
Pink, because blue wasn't in rotation at that moment. Yeah.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Very true. Which makes sense, to be fair. That does make sense. So she was quite rigid on sticking to the colours that were associated.
She was. So that's very interesting.
That's interesting.
And that is what you can expect to see in the eventual Eras Tour concert, which we basically have confirmation.
Exciting.
We know. There was a camera crew.
God.
There was a drone on the other night. There was like a little robot running around for the other night. So for three nights, she recording, that will be mashed up together. And it will be interesting to see, you know, which part from each night gets chosen. I love to see that.
When do you think we'll get that? Do you think we'll get that with, like, Reputation? It was kind of like a New Year's Day thing, wasn't
right
it?
At the end, yeah.
Do you think they'll do that, like...
Maybe it will be between
New Year.
Maybe it will be between this year and next year, because I can't see her sitting on that footage for such a long time. But then, to be fair, for Reputation, she basically did. So I don't know. I mean, I'd like to see it kind of in between the first leg or the first year and the second year of tour. But we might have to wait.
I would honestly like it to come at the end of this year into early next year, because I think, to be fair, it'll just add to the hype. I think because some people watch and be like, God, I want to go to that.
I agree. You know? But then again, you can't, like, there's not really much of a chance to go anyway. Not in Europe. It's all sold out. Well, there's always last minute tickets.
True.
There is always last minute tickets, to be fair. But yeah.
And there is potential she might add more dates, you know, in the States and stuff.
And I'll just add this here because it's interesting to note. And it's here for the future so we can look back and either laugh at ourselves as we do and as we get comments as well saying, I can't believe you said this. Yeah, it is what it is. But some people have been... The rumour has been going around that they may even be a theatrical release of like the Eras Tour concert.
Yes.
Love that. Can you imagine going to the cinema
to see
Taylor?
Oh, how incredible.
I'd die.
It would feel a bit like... Because they do it sometimes with some stuff.
Yeah. Some
but it's always, quite limited.
Oh, it's only a very short run.
Like,
very short run.
Yeah, and like very few cinemas. Because even like Miss Americana was in a couple of cinemas, like dotted like one in each country. But I believe Billie Eilish, for her recent like tour, Happier Than Ever tour with Apple Music, I'm sure that had a cinema release.
Oh,
and the only thing
so
is
cool.
People were in the show like singing it, like up shouting and singing it,
that's
which is
true.
Quite an interesting thing for a cinema.
Yeah.
But hopefully it'll be a bit more like the days of like the Katy Perry Part of Me music video, which was like a proper cinematic release, you know, like you went to the cinema and watched it.
I'd love that. I'd love
that. Hopefully something like that would be really, really cool, wouldn't it, to like go...
I'd
and, like,
love that,
get all dressed up. A bit like the Barbie movie.
Yeah,
like,
it would be an event.
Movie,
it would definitely
like, get
be
all dressed
event.
Up.
Like,
yeah.
I would be wearing the friendship bracelets. I'd be all dressed
up.
Oh,
yeah,
it would basically
too.
Be like going to the concert. And for a lot of people that, you know, haven't been able to make it...
Would be their only way,
a lot of countries that maybe weren't included or travel was just way too
or
expensive.
Or couldn't afford.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or, you know, just wasn't lucky enough to be selected because this all really wound up on a lot of, you know, lottery luck. It would be a really nice way to make it available for a bigger audience of people. So that'd be cool. Yeah. So next up, we can get into just general surprises and really like important or notable things that have happened throughout this first leg of the Eras Tour. Firstly, many, many guests. Not as many as I expected, honestly.
No, considering ironically more guests were in the audience.
That's true, so many people went. But still a few of note. So we have Marcus Mumford, who you mentioned before, because he played like Cowboy Like Me with her. Aaron Dessner is the guest, he's the VIP of the tour. He was there six times. We love Aaron Dessner. Yeah, so he was there six times. Blessing the Eras Tour with his presence. Then we had Ice Spice. She's second in line for the Eras Tour VIP because she went to the three concerts and sang the Karma remix around the time that that song was like released. Jack Antonoff appeared to play Getaway Car with Taylor. Maren Morris, I know that this was a big one. Yeah, for you. Iconic. You All Over Me remix version, because she got an extra little...
Yes, because Maren actually got what she deserved. She got a bleeding verse.
Then we had Grace Abrams, who obviously was one of Taylor's openers, but she also came on... One day she wasn't able to open because of the weather, so she came on with Taylor in the surprise section. We mentioned it before as well, and they sung I Miss You, I'm Sorry. And talking about openers, like we've mentioned before, again, we both got Phoebe and Haim as basically guests on the tour to perform as part of the set list. So here we would like to play another one of our listeners' audios that they sent in to us. We would like to say thank you very much to Madeline for sending in this audio that we're going to listen to now.
It's me. Hi, I'm Madeline, and I went to Seattle night one and night two. And before I'm going to say anything else, let me just say the Eras Tour, best concert ever, in my opinion. And there's truly nothing like it. And it really, really is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity and experience. And I feel so lucky I got to experience it twice from different perspectives. Night one, I was on the floor, which obviously was incredible, being so close to Taylor and just... Yeah, that was incredible. But night two was really awesome, too, because I was in 200 levels. So I actually got to see the stage. And I didn't know that the stage looked like a guitar, and she had it look like a guitar during the Fearless set. And during the Reputation set, she had snakes, like, slithering throughout the stage. So that was really cool to see the stage, because I didn't the night before. I feel so... incredibly lucky that I was at the first ever live performance of Nobody No Crime. I'm obsessed with that song. It was my first favorite off of Evermore, and when she brought it home, I completely lost my mind. The laughter in This Is Why We Can't Have Nice Things was amazing. Hearing Everything Has Changed acoustic was incredible, and tied together with the smile was beautiful. Overall, best concert ever, in my opinion. My advice to fans is I would video your reactions during part of the songs. I videoed mine, and I really love looking back at them. And also, be prepared to cry when Taylor sings Long Live. Just be prepared to cry. I thought I would cry during Marjorie, and I did, but I also cried during Long Live. So yeah, that is my little Eras Tour recap. Overall, best time ever. Love you guys.
So thank you again for sending us that audio. We really, really do appreciate all of the people that we contacted or got in contact with us. Some of you guys are like listeners like who have been with us since the beginning of this podcast, and yeah, we're very appreciative. And it gives us a new perspective. After all, we've not been yet, so we can't really give too much perspective. And this audio was so interesting because it gave us what we already know, kind of, from what a lot of people have been saying, but it's good to have confirmation that no seat is a bad seat in the Eras Tour.
Yes.
Every seat,
yeah,
or
no,
every...
Yeah, that is really interesting.
Yeah, every view that you get gives you a different perspective and introduces you to something that you hadn't noticed before, like Madeline was saying.
Yeah, no, I really love that. Because, yeah, it's like, if you're on the floor, obviously you get the perspective of being so close to Taylor. But then being up in the seating, obviously you do get to see the show as a whole. And I think that's really cool. And obviously, if you are able to go to multiple, which I am privileged enough to be able to say that I will be. Mine, I am not on the floor, so I will not be having the floor perspective, but it is so cool to just see it from different angles and just to get more, like, who doesn't want to go multiple times? Like, come on, you know, it's so fun. But yeah, I think that's a really interesting perspective to kind of change it up. And if you do are lucky enough and do get that, to view it from different angles, it's just so lucky, unbelievably lucky. And how cool is that? And I am incredibly jealous that not only did you get to see Haim and Nobody No Crime, but Tied Together with a Smile, which I have been banging on about, is literally the one that I wanted to hear now looking back on it. So unbelievably jealous you got to hear that. That is so, so cool. And just to see Taylor like two nights in a row,
magical.
It is, like, yeah,
but also I bet it was just exhausting. Afterwards, you were probably just like, I need to sleep. Oh my gosh, for a week.
Each night, like, okay, next one. And to be fair, interesting advice for internationals, like recording. Or I do always think it's quite nice, to be fair, when you see people's, what I've really, really liked is seeing people's reaction when it, like, I saw this girl that was like, deleted social media for like 3 months. So she had no idea. And her favorite song was, or I don't know how many months, I might be over exaggerating, but her favorite song is Miss Americana. And obviously that is the opener, and she literally like freaked, and it was really lovely seeing that. So I do think that is quite interesting sometimes to see people's reactions and perspectives. And I saw some people that had no idea what the set list was going to be, so every song was a total surprise and they were videoing elements of their reactions. And I think that is definitely an interesting advice, and if you are kind of comfortable doing that, would be quite a cool thing. I would just be too busy crying, and Madeline said, expect to cry. I am fully aware.
I'm ready.
Crying for 3 hours.
I'm going to be crying from the very first note that strikes.
Yes, exactly. Yep. It's been a long time coming. Oh, right through to karma will be, you know,
definitely.
So no, that is definitely good advice. And yeah, if you are comfortable, I think quite a cool memory to have. But yeah, thank you so much for sending in audio. I love this. It's so cool getting to hear different people's perspectives and like different advice and stuff, because even though, you know, we can chat and sit about it forever, we haven't been. So it's nice to get people on that have and can give their advice and their kind of perspectives and make us even more excited.
Definitely. So thank you again to Ali and Madeline, who are both listeners who have interacted many times with us on the podcast, you know, in our comments on YouTube. And there are other avid listeners that we love to interact with you guys, and we would like to hear from you on this episode as well. Even if you haven't been yet to the Eras Tour, what changes are you expecting to come in the international side of the Eras Tour? Are you expecting things to maybe be changed about quite a lot? Is it going to be like a 1989 situation, a Speak Now situation? Are we going to get completely different outfits? Let us know your predictions as well, because we, like we said, we love to hear from you, and we are very thankful that you like to hear from us as well. Moving on to more surprises and more special nights of the Eras Tour, though they're all special, but you know, just more surprises in the night of, already full of surprises. We had that amazing night in which Taylor brought out Taylor Lautner, Joey King, and Presley Cash that night. Can you imagine seeing that backflip in person?
Yeah, that was such a fun night. That was so, so cool. And just lovely how they all gushed about each other on stage. And yeah, what a cool night.
And then we also have nights that she either premieres things or announces things, which are also really, really interesting nights. We've had two MV premieres, which I think kind of has gotten forgotten over time. Karma.
Yeah, I think everyone's forgotten that. Yeah, Karma and I Can See You. Yeah, it's mad the eras that we've piled through, like through this, the Eras Tour. You know, we've had the Midnights era, we've had the Speak Now era. I now feel like we're kind of revitalizing elements of the Lover era.
Definitely,
you know?
So
it's so cool. But yeah, we got the Karma music video, and then obviously the I Can See You music video. So yeah, lots of really exciting things. And getting to see Taylor sat on stage watching it and freaking out about it was just really lovely as well.
And then finally, we got announcements. We got two big announcements, of course. We had the Speak Now Taylor's Version announcement and the amazing, amazing Speak Now night, release night, or release weekend, really. Those concerts, full of purple, full of like really amazing performances, amazing surprise songs. Those nights were really, really good. I can't imagine.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, because the Speak Now ones, that was like Nashville week.
Yes.
Nashville was spoiled. They had like museums and this and that. And that was such a cool weekend because that was when everything was so unexpected. Whereas with the LA ones, even though it was so exciting, you know, it was like, okay, she could do that. You know, like, yeah, she could announce it.
We were all
was
like, exciting, is it going to happen?
Speak Now, everyone had no, like, it was like, what? You know, and mental. Whereas what was so cool about the 1999 release show, announced show, was the outfits. The fact it was like, oh my god, she's wearing a blue outfit. Oh, it was like, oh my god, she's wearing another one. Oh my god, she's wearing... And then, I don't know if you've seen, but the video of, there's a video of someone waiting for the 1999 one, and the rupture in that audience when she appears is just on another level. And I think what's also worth mentioning while discussing the Eurostar is the amount of people that are outside of the arenas. You know, like tens of thousands of people have been, the demand is so high that they're filling up, you know, the area around the arena. The Eurostar is basically propping up, this is a bit dramatic, but you know, propping up the US economy. Like, it's just a cultural phenomenon.
It,
like,
really is.
It is just on level of just peak of her career.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy to see. But yeah, you're right. It's been that, you know, to see all of those fans, that there's like 70,000 fans inside and there's still like another like 20,000 people on the outside.
People outside.
And they're having the time of their lives. So like we said, no seat is a bad seat. Like even outside isn't a bad seat, honestly. But yeah, those seeing like blue outfit. Okay. This could just be a coincidence. Another blue outfit. Okay, what? And then the 1989 blue outfit.
Oh, everyone lost it.
And talking about that night, we are lucky enough, we reached out to a couple of our favourite Instagram Swifties and they got back to us with a few quotes and a few audios about that night. So firstly, I'm going to read out a quote from Maddie, who on Instagram goes by the tag KyoSomaStan. So if you're a Fruits Baskets fan, definitely go follow her because they do like crossovers of Taylor Swift and Fruits Baskets. And yeah, it's really cool. But anyway, I shall read out her quote now. So, I love how it really feels like you're a part of this amazing community when you're there because everyone loves Taylor just as much as you do. She shows her humility while she's on stage as she always looks so appreciative to be there performing for us, and it really speaks to her character, not only as someone who makes music for her fans, but someone who wants to have a genuine connection with her fans, and it's so beautiful. It was surreal hearing some of my favourite songs live for the first time, such as All Too Well and Long Live. I have what has been deemed post-concert amnesia from some Swifties because I was so excited throughout the whole show that my senses were overloaded, but I think that really shows how lost in the moment I was. I can't believe I was there when she announced 1989, Taylor's version. That's a memory that I will hold onto forever. I'll be going to as many Taylor tours as possible for as long as she's performing because her concerts are truly a magical experience. So thank you very, very much for sending us that.
Yes, that's so lovely.
It really is such a heartwarming message because you can really see how Taylor connects with every single
the sense of
person.
Community,
and she creates such a welcoming space, a really, really, you know, where you can feel. And some of these comments just really show like Taylor's character, which we know of Taylor's character, but to be there in person and feel that really attests to how she is as a performer. And as a person.
We have another submission from Hannah, whose Instagram handle is holdontothememories_TS13, who we reached out to because we're big fans of her account. I've been like rinsing Hannah's account for content. She's been posting so much really, really cool content and just sharing all of her videos, all of her just really fun outfits and everything. I've generally loved it. And she had the coolest interaction ever with Taylor during Love Story, where Taylor literally sung Love Story right at her. I'm so unbelievably jealous. Hannah submitted her audio because she was also at the 1989 Taylor's version announcement. So yeah, we'll give Hannah's audio a listen as well.
Hi, my name is Hannah. My Instagram username is holdontothememories_TS13. I was fortunate enough to get to go to quite a few different era shows this tour, but one that stuck out was definitely closing night on August 9th in LA. A highlight of that show was definitely getting to see all of the new blue outfits in person. they were such a surprise, especially the Speak Now dress. I was not expecting that, but it was really cool to see that in person. Obviously, that was a really exciting show because she announced 1989 Taylor's version at it, which was so much fun to be a part of. It was just so cool to be in that environment with people who were just excited as I was, and just to get to see her announce it in person was really, really cool. Some advice I have for people going to future era shows is just to have fun, be yourself, and just be nice to people. But most of all, just live in the moment and appreciate it while you have it, because it'll be gone before you know it. And you just really want to take it all in and live in the moment and have the time of your life.
What's interesting about both of these audios, which both Hannah and Maddie commented on, two things. Firstly, they both commented on, funnily enough, the sense of like community and being there and
yes,
like the Swifties coming together, the friendship bracelets. I know they didn't mention it, like them, you know, but it is kind of like part of
taken
that.
Off. Yeah,
it really has. It's such a beautiful thing, honestly, if you think about it, like just random people coming up to you and
being like, here's this and here's
which
that.
They've,
yeah,
you know,
so
they've
lovely.
Gone. They've planned out, they've bought the beads.
Taken hours,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, it just makes me so emotional. I love that. I love that so much. And the second thing they both commented on was how in the moment you get in these concerts. And like Maddie said, like, it could even give you a bit of like post-concert amnesia where you've like experienced so much.
I can't remember anything.
You're like, oh my God, what just happened? And like Hannah said, it can go like quite fast. So you've got to try and enjoy it. Don't feel pressure to... Yeah. You know, have to record every single moment, or just chill, trying to have the best time you can, and really, yeah, take the moment and taste it. Never, I'm so cheesy with that, but yeah, definitely.
No,
yeah.
I get what you mean. Yeah, it is really interesting, and yeah, so unbelievably cool to be there, and like Hannah kind of said, being in, you know, a stadium full of people that are all just excited to be there, which is so fun to be around, you know. Just so many Swifties and Taylor Swift fans that are just so excited and having the time of their lives. So yeah, it is, and it's so lovely to, I just can't wait. Like I literally can't wait to go.
We've got ways
especially off hearing the audios and quotes. I know we've got so long, but hearing all of these has just made me even more excited. Like I just genuinely can't wait. I know I was saying to you the other day, like, because you were talking about making your friendship bracelets, and I was like, a bit early. I was like, are you crazy? Now I'm like, okay, I need to start now. I'm too excited. Like, this recording this episode has got me way too excited. Now I'm like, okay, maybe I'm the crazy one for not starting.
Exactly. You need to be getting on it, Cameron. The price of beads is going up.
Oh, it is. To be fair, yeah, it is. It's like inflation. They'll be testing inflation now purely on the price of, you know, friendship bracelets.
Exactly, exactly. Lettering.
But no, I need to jump on it. But the problem is, I'm then worried that I'm just going to, by the time it gets rolled around to tour, I'm going to have so many that I'm going to get done by security by bringing in a million bracelets.
No, my plan is literally, I don't know how many are going to be made, but I need to control myself because I don't want to be like... crazy person turns up
an armful
and they're like, no, you just can't bring that in.
You've got them dangling off your ears,
exactly.
Your nose,
yeah,
your toes.
No, but it is such a lovely culture that has cropped up around the Eras Tour, and yeah, it's amazing that we're going to get to see that continue on for the rest of this year and all of next year. It's just such a special moment that we're living in, and it's amazing to see Taylor at just her best physically, being able to perform that such a grueling really show for 3 hours and just do it flawlessly night after night,
every single time.
Yep It's amazing to see. Her vocals are incredible. Yes, you can tell she's worked on this tour a lot, and the fans, you've heard the experiences of all these people, like everyone is just taking away such incredible experiences, and that we are lucky enough to be able to experience that ourselves, and even just for fans everywhere to be able to experience it through people who so kindly are, you know, sharing their experience with everyone else. It's incredible, and it's great. It really does show the community of Swifties and how we've all come together to appreciate this incredible tour and this celebration of her entire career of music.
Thank you for listening. We've now come to the end of this episode recapping the Eras Tour. I can't believe that we've come to the end now, after kind of the anticipation and the announcement, and then recapping some of the surprise songs and the kind of first opening weeks. But yeah, thank you again for listening. And we'd also like to say a massive, massive thank you again to Wendy, Madeline, Ali, Maddie, and Hannah, as well as everyone else who got in contact with us expressing their excitement over this episode. We really, really loved having some of our listeners and favourite content creators be part of this episode, as the Euros Tour is kind of a community and we really wanted different people to input and add and hear their stories and kind of share their experience. So thank you to everyone for sharing, gracefully sharing your experience with us. We feel very privileged to have you on our episode, and we look forward to having more people get involved, and we really, really love doing this. But yeah, thank you again for listening, and yeah, we'll see you in our next episode.